September 5, 1836. The Republic of Texas holds its first presidential election. The man who had spent 15 years building Texas, Stephen F. Austin, receives just 587 votes.
He came in third, behind Sam Houston and Henry Smith. It's a stunning result for the man we call the father of Texas. To understand it, you have to look at what happened a year earlier, in a small town on the Brazos.
Welcome to the weekly Masonic History feature from Johnson City Lodge number 561. I'm Brother Archivist. I guard the record and check the sources.
And I'm Brother Orator. I help turn that record toward meaning, context, and memorable Masonic education. This Masonic historian agent was built by Dr. William Fisher, a master mason and proud member of Johnson City Lodge number 561, to help share careful, engaging knowledge about Masonic history.
Our purpose is to help brethren, prospects, and Texas history listeners learn Masonic history with curiosity and care. You can find more at johnsoncitylodge561.org or send questions and source leads to jclodge561@gmail.com.
This week, we're telling the story of the man who always asked permission, Stephen F. Austin, and the week he finally sanctioned a new course for Texas.
To understand Austin, you have to understand his method. He was an impresario. His entire career was built on petitions and contracts with the Mexican government.
He was a master of working within the system. He believed, with good reason, that harmony with the authorities was the only way his colonies could succeed. He was not a revolutionary by nature. He was a man who filled out the forms.
That habit extended to his life as a Mason. The record is clear that Austin was a Mason, though the specific date and location of his raising are not settled by the institutional record. What is certain is what he did with his Masonic identity in Texas.
He did what he always did. He asked permission.
Correct. In 1828, he and six other Masons met in San Felipe de Austin and formally petitioned the Grand York Lodge of Mexico for a charter to form a lodge.
And what happened to that petition?
Nothing. According to the Handbook of Texas, it arrived in Mexico City during a fierce political feud between two Masonic factions and simply disappeared. Austin asked correctly, and the lawful authority answered with silence.
That silence would become a pattern, and the cost would get much higher.
In 1833, Austin traveled to Mexico City again, this time carrying petitions from the colonists. He actually succeeded at first, persuading the government to repeal a law that had choked off American immigration.
But on his way home, his belief in the system was repaid with betrayal. He was arrested in Saltillo in January 1834, accused of trying to incite an insurrection. He spent the next year and a half in various Mexican prisons, finally returning to Texas at the end of August 1835.
So one petition vanished, another landed him in jail for 18 months. The man who lived by asking permission was learning a hard lesson about the authority he was asking it from. And while he was in prison, a group of Masons in the town of Brazoria decided they had waited long enough. They didn't give up on the idea of authority, they just looked for a better one.
Exactly. In March of 1835, six Masons, including a doctor named Anson Jones, met secretly. The state historical marker says they met under a large live oak near Brazoria. Fearing reprisals from the Mexican government, they didn't petition Mexico City.
They looked east, to the United States.
They petitioned the Grand Lodge of Louisiana for a charter. The Grand Master of Louisiana, John Henry Holland, issued a dispensation. On December 27, 1835, Holland Lodge No. 36 held its first meeting in Brazoria, with Anson Jones as its first worshipful master.
This is the whole argument of the week right here. This is what Masons do. When the sovereign will not warrant you, you don't just make it up as you go. You find a lawful authority that will answer. You seek a better warrant.
And just 6 months after that Masonic decision, Stephen F. Austin, now home from prison, did the very same thing on the scale of a country in that very same town.
The colonists were calling for a consultation, a convention to decide the future of Texas. It was an unauthorized body, and Austin's support was critical. Had he opposed it, it might have failed.
But at a public dinner in Brazoria on September 8, 1835, Austin rose and gave the consultation his formal sanction. the most cautious man in Texas, the lifelong advocate for harmony with Mexico, finally blessed an action taken without permission.
And even then, notice their discipline. When the consultation finally met, its first major act was not to declare independence. It was to establish a provisional government based on an existing charter, the Mexican Constitution of 1824. They were still looking for a lawful foundation to stand on.
That provisional government sent Austin to the United States as a commissioner. He spent his last full year of health doing for a new country what he'd always done, seeking recognition, loans, and legitimacy, a warrant.
Then came the election and the 587 votes. He accepted the post of Secretary of State from Sam Houston, the man who defeated him. He was a servant of Texas to the end.
The end came on December 27, 1836. Stephen F. Austin died of pneumonia in Brazoria County at the age of 43. It was 1 year to the day after Holland Lodge held its first meeting.
That lodge and its master, Anson Jones, would go on to call the convention that organized the Grand Lodge of Texas in 1837. And on December 16, 1882, that same Grand Lodge granted a charter to a group of men here in Blanco County.
That charter hangs on our wall at Johnson City Lodge No. 561. Its authority traces directly back through the Grand Lodge of Texas, through that first meeting in Houston, and back to the dispensation from Louisiana.
It all leads back to six men under a tree in Brazoria who understood a fundamental truth. Freemasonry is built on permission. But when the established authority refuses to answer, men who take order seriously don't choose chaos. They constitute a new, lawful order. They find a better warrant.
That is the lesson from Brazoria. The answer to silence is not disorder. It is a more perfect, more responsive, and more just authority.
Thank you for joining us for this week's feature. From all of us at Johnson City Lodge No. 561, have a thoughtful week.